Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is just one more day. One more day of formation in your lives, in our lives as well, especially you who are students here. You are being prepared. Prepared to go out into a world filled with death, disease, and pain. And sure, that sounds a bit pessimistic, doesn't it? But it's really not pessimistic at all. Such thoughts are only pessimistic to those who do not understand the reality of sin, the sin in this world. And to us who serve in the office of the Holy Ministry, and to you who will soon serve, and to you who will soon support that office, this is important for us to understand. It is the reality demonstrated by our gospel text today. And all of you, you know the story very well. You have read it many times over the years, and yet such remains the case. Even to this very day, there remains two categories of people on this earth. Those who are dead and don't even recognize it. And those who are alive, who seem as dead to an unbelieving world. The rich man in our text today, he did not even consider the plight of Lazarus. We are told that Lazarus desired the food that dropped from that rich man's table. However, the text does not tell us that Lazarus ever received anything good from him. No, in a way, Lazarus seemed dead to that rich man. After all, it would only be a matter of time and that sick and that disgusting Lazarus would die. Finally, that rich man would be completely done with the stench of that person who sits by the gate. Helmut Thielicke once remarked, "Evil cannot understand itself to be evil." Just as those who are stupid cannot recognize their stupidity. St. Paul, he reminds us of sin, and he reminds us of the spiritual death in which the entire world is born. That only through the gift of faith can anyone have eyes to see, ears to hear the things of God. In today's gospel, it's just one more picture of that truth. The rich man is dead, and he doesn't even know it. And Lazarus, who appears dead before the world, is alive because of faith. Yet to everyone seeing the situation, it seems as if it is completely reversed. Clarity comes in death. What is reality? What is it we perceive? What is it that we are told? Is it something that we make for ourselves? A dying and a sinful world says yes. But the real answer is provided in Jesus. And the answer comes for the rich man and for Lazarus in death. Lazarus simply closes his eyes in the struggles of death and opens them to an eternal life. And there he stands, finally, in the peace of heaven. Whereas that rich man, he's ripped out of his life of plenty and into a life of eternal misery. Now, we don't know how long Lazarus had struggled in the world, but to anyone who's ever struggled with hunger or pain, even for a short time, it seems like an eternity. But on the other hand, that life of plenty and good, it must have seemed like a very short time to the rich man. And now the rich man, he is in agony. He doesn't even warrant a drop of water on his parched lips. "Father Abraham, send to me Lazarus." "No. Lazarus will not be coming. No one will be coming for you." The rich man had chosen to live in that hell by the life that he lived on the earth. Child, remember that in your life you received your good things, and Lazarus, in a like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted, and you are in anguish. And finally, the rich man, he understands his state. He knows where he's at. "Then I beg you, Father, I beg you, send to him to my father's house." The rich man worries about his brothers. He never worried about Lazarus, but he does worry about the state of his own brothers. He knows that they too will be joining him soon. They too will be in anguish. And the next section of the text is very telling about the sinful condition. Even from hell, the rich man tries to exert his power. There's no hint of repentance in his words. Abraham's response, it's strong and it's to the point. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." The rich man, he still does not understand. You see, sin never understands. It's impossible, incapable of understanding. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, then they will repent. And yet the rich man, who speaks about the possibility of repentance for his brothers, has no repentance of his own. Repentance is a gift. It's never something someone does. It's connected to contrition, to be sure, sorrow over sin. But contrition is not repentance. Repentance is the work of God. And it comes through the gift of faith that looks to the promise of God, that looks to the crucifixion and to the resurrection. And therefore, Abraham's response is the only possible correct response. "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone was to rise from the dead." Jesus is pointing to his resurrection and the unbelief that will continue on even until our day into the ages. He's pointing to the unbelief that you will soon confront in a different way than you've ever confronted before. The world is born dead in sin. And the message that you will speak, the world will not understand what you say. You will not be praised by a dying world for your faithfulness. If anything, you will be ignored, just as Lazarus was ignored as he sat at the gate with the dogs licking his sores. And yet, the message is clear and it brings life to those who are dead. And we, every one of us, are proof of that. We too were born amongst the spiritually dead, but life came to us through the Word. the word of someone who rose from the dead and spoke through Moses and the prophets. Jesus has brought life to us, and he continues to bring life to others. It was too late for that rich man to receive a drop of water. But that water, it has been dropped on our foreheads and attached to the triune name of God. The water that the rich man longed to drink but could not receive is the water that is added with the word that creates faith and brings us from death to life. No, the world will not accept the message of the gospel. And nevertheless, when the crucifixion and the resurrection are preached, hardened hearts come alive, and faith is created. No, the dead, they don't get to send messengers back to the living, such as an abomination to God, but the living speak, and you are the living. You are the ones who have listened to Moses and the prophets. Moreover, they are the ones who promise that there would be one who would come from the dead, our own Jesus Christ. This is the message of life for a dead world. And it's the only message that can ever deliver from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Son who dies that we might have life. Today, it's true, it's another day of formation, to be sure. The word that has brought life to you is the same word that we're hearing today. It's a word that brings life to the world. A word that condemns the sinner and sustains the poor, the diseased, and the dying. The word of the gospel poured out upon us in holy baptism, given and shed for us in holy communion for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us live in that peace. Please rise. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus our Lord.